In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is another feast in the calendar of the Church. It's one of the minor feasts of Thomas Sunday, or the first Sunday of the Pentecost period. And as we know, the Church reads for us the Gospel about St. Thomas, and how he said that I wouldn't believe unless I see and touch the wounds of the Lord Jesus. He wasn't there the first day of the week, on the day of the resurrection. He wasn't with the disciples. But this Sunday, he was there with them, and the Lord appeared to them again. And he says that unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. So St. Thomas here shows us there is a relationship between one's belief and then one's body, the experiences we have in the body. How are the body senses things by the five organs, the five sensory organs, but the spirit is different. It doesn't sense things through the five bodily organs. But he shows us here that there is a relationship between both the body and the spirit. He wants to believe, his spirit wants to believe and have faith, but his body says, I need evidence for this, I need to touch and feel. So he makes this connection between the physical and the spiritual. Oftentimes when we live our life with a disconnect between the body and the spirit. الجسد والروح. الجسد حاجة والروح حاجة تاني. Right? The spirit is something and the body is something completely different. And we treat them this way. We say, okay, today is Monday, and Monday through Friday or even Saturday, this is the time for the body. So I go and I indulge the body, I go with my friends, I do eat whatever I want to, and I, you know, carry on as if I have no spirit. And then I come maybe Friday night or Sunday morning, oh, today's the time for the spirit. For I come, prepare myself to come to church, and I attend the liturgy, and this is the time of the spirit, and that's it. And even we might do this, even if we're maybe a little bit more religious, we might do this on a daily basis. Okay, in the morning I give God 5 minutes, I say a quick prayer, Our Father, then I go, that's my spirit time. Now it's my body time. I go and I hang out with my friends and coworkers and say things and do things and watch things that aren't maybe appropriate, but they fulfill and satisfy the desires of the body. And some people turn to, when they feel like anxious, they'll turn to things that give the body rest, like maybe medicinal drugs or illicit drugs or alcohol, simply to make the body feel relaxed and satisfied. But of course, when it comes to the spirit, all we want to do is just relieve the conscience. Just say a quick prayer, Our Father, before I sleep, maybe come to church once a week on Sunday, and then my conscience is satisfied. However, neither the body nor the spirit is immune from the influences of the other. I'll say that again. Neither is the body nor the spirit immune from the influences of the other. So the body will influence the spirit, and the spirit will also influence the body. I'd like to mention just a few points. This is a big topic, but I'd like to mention just a few points about this relationship between our body and our spiritual life. Number one is faith. When it comes to faith, is faith simply a mental activity? Haga ibn adrika bas fumkhina ubas. When I say ana amin, I believe, is it just I believe in my mind and that's it? Or is there more to it? Certainly, believing in the mind and in the spirit is one part of it and one aspect of it, but it's not all of it. Why? Because while it's the beginning, the action of faith is a bodily function, right? Today, we believe that the body, the bread and wine will be turned into the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. And we all believe this. And what's the proof that we all believe this? That you're here, right? You're here in body. Are you all here just in spirit? No, you're here in body and spirit. So your spirit said, you know what? This is the body and blood of the Lord. I need this. Let me come, wake up early and come to church. And come to church on Thomas Sunday. You know, if you look around you, this is like, as they say in Arabic, afaid, right? And it's very thin. Because some people's body is maybe too heavy. Because we've been eating all this week, right? So there is certainly that connection. But the body must participate in one's faith. Do you remember the story of the woman who had a flow of blood? The Lord Jesus was actually on his way to the house of Jairus to raise the daughter of Jairus from the dead. And as he's walking there, a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, all the physicians couldn't help her. But she had faith that this man could heal her. So she went behind him and she just simply touched the hem of his garment. The Lord Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are like, "What do you mean? There's so many people around you. What do you mean who touched you?" No, he said, "Somebody touched me with faith because I felt power be withdrawn from me. I felt power went out of me." And the lady, of course, terrified, she confessed. And how did the Lord respond? And what did he tell her? He said, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." I suspect that if the woman had faith and knew the Lord could heal her, but never touched him, do you think she would be healed? Probably not. No. But her body participated in her faith by moving her towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as your body has moved you towards coming to partake of the Eucharist this morning. St. James, you know, we often talk about faith and works. You know, faith is the spirit side, and the works is the side of the body. What we do with this faith. St. James, you know, explains it beautifully. He says, "But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. You believe in the spirit and I believe in the body. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." So he says, yeah, even the demons believe because they're spirits, they believe. But what about their works? Their works aren't like as if they believe because of course they had their chance. But what about us? If we say we believe, but our works don't follow, we become as if having the faith of the demons. It's just of the spirit, but not of the spirit and the body together. What about the number two, then the relation between the body and the spirit? Is the body is honorable. There are some philosophers, even from the very, you know, time of Christ, and even before then, they believed that the body was evil and the spirit was good. And the conflict within us is a conflict between the spirit, which is good, and the body, which is bad. So they look at the body and they try to, you know, make the body, and this is like, if you look at like monasticism and things like that in the Far East, their idea is to persecute the body because the body is bad, right? But here in Christianity, we believe that the body is actually honorable. And how is the body honorable? It's not just a vehicle for the spirit, but the body itself is honorable. If you remember in the Old Testament, after Elisha died and they buried him, they came and they had, you know, a dead person and they laid it on the tomb or on the grave of Elisha, and the man regained his life and came back to life. Right? Simply by touching dead bones. Right? So, God gave honor even to the body that was separated from the spirit, that seemed to be lifeless. But it seemed here to give life. Why? Because God gave the body honor. After all, we're the only creature that God created after His image and likeness. So, very unique. We're the only creature that have both spirit from God and body, flesh as well. If you think about it, the angels, they're only spirits, right? The animals are only flesh. We're the only ones that have both, the spirit and the flesh as well. We're very unique. Not only that, but our human nature was blessed and honored when the Lord Jesus came and took flesh. He took our own nature, the fully human nature, which is human spirit and human flesh. He took this upon himself. And as we say in the Gregorian liturgy, you bless our nature what? You bless our nature in yourself. Exactly. You bless our nature in yourself because you became man and took the human body. As we also know from St. Paul's letters and from the teachings of the church, that the body is also a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Do we think that the Holy Spirit that's within us is different than the Holy Spirit that was with the Lord Jesus? The Holy Spirit that touched the womb of the Virgin and allowed her to conceive without the seed of man, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the same Spirit. Look what St. Paul says. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we have this Holy Spirit of God within us, right? And not just in our spirit, but in our body as well, right? In our body as well. And if you think about the body as well, it's also honorable because it's the one who participates in worship. You know, we worship God not only in our spirit, but in our body. We're all here today, and during like maybe the great fast, we're doing prostrations like on Good Friday. Is this a work of the spirit or a work of the body? It's a work of the body, it's prostrating. But the spirit is in prayer, in repentance, asking supplication, right? We're here today in the church and we smell the incense. Does the spirit smell or does the body smell? The body smells, right? So the body is participating with the spirit in worship. And the church and the Lord Jesus, they set this up beautifully because he knows that in order for us to really commune with God, we need to experience him both in spirit and in body as well. The body is also from the earth and the spirit is from God. Saint John, the Lord tells us, or he tells Nicodemus when he meets with him, when he speaks about the baptism, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. What is born of the flesh is the body. What is born of the spirit is from God, is the spirit within us, right? What we received from God when he breathed into the face of Adam at his creation. And this is why you'll find there's a struggle that happens within us, especially after the fall, of course. Because the body was taken from the earth. So its natural habitat or its natural inclination is to the things that decay and die, the things of the earth. So you'll find we want to do things, or the body wants to do things, to simply indulge the pleasure until its own demise and death. But the spirit, because it's from God, is only truly nourished by God. Regardless if somebody believes in God or not, it doesn't change the fact that their spirit will only find rest in God. This is why you find the people who don't believe in any God are very restless. The ones perhaps, you know, have the most psychological kind of disorders and diseases. Because they're trying to find a bodily remedy for a spiritual disease. And they search and keep searching. But really their answer is in God. They need God. And sometimes, you know, when we want to try to find rest for the spirit in a bodily way, we pursue it elsewhere. Sometimes maybe we'll feel guilty because we committed some kind of sin. So rather than go for confession and repent, then what do we do? Let's say, okay, let me play some kind of music to relieve my anxiety. Let me seek, you know, a counselor just to talk with me and convince me that it's all in my head so that I can have rest. Let me take some medicinal drug to ease my anxiety. Or let me consume alcohol or shisha or whatever it is to calm my nerves. So we're seeking here this bodily rest and maybe rest for the spirit, but trying to seek it in a way through the body. But we'll never find rest in the spirit by seeking it from the body. Number three is the spirit is affected by the sins we commit in the body. The spirit is affected by the sins we commit in the body. In the book of Isaiah it says, but your iniquities, of course iniquities are the sins we commit in the body, have separated you from God. This separation from God, is this in the spirit or in the body? In the spirit. It's in the spirit, right? When Adam and Eve sinned, God gave them a physical manifestation of their separation from him when he kicked them out of the garden, when he expelled them from the garden, right? So they understand that now there is a barrier between the two of them. And he put an angel between them, between him, and between Adam and Eve and their children. So they understood that this sin caused this separation. But ultimately it's a separation in, you know, of course, their spirit. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. And St. Paul echoes some similar sentiment when he says, For the wages of sin is what? Is death. So he's saying that the result of sin is death. Is this physical death or is this the separation from God? When we commit a sin, do we die immediately? And then we somehow, you know, when somebody finds us dead and then he just raises us from the dead? No. We sin, but we continue to live, right? But when he says the wages of sin is death, he's speaking here now about the death of the spirit in the final judgment, which would be condemned into hell. God, you know, have mercy on us all and protect us all from this day. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lastly, the body will be resurrected. The body will be resurrected. And the last day, we think, okay, the body, like I said in the beginning, some people believe that the body is just a vehicle. So once the body dies and goes to ashes, that's it. You can, sitin dahi, as they say. And what goes on is the spirit, and that's it. But this is not true. Yes, the body will die, and will come to powder and be left with bones. But in the resurrection, in the second coming, the Lord will take from our physical body, that's dust and ashes, to recreate a glorified body for every one of us. With the similar characteristics that we had. We will know each other. Do you remember on Mount Tabor, right? Who appeared next to the Lord Jesus? Moses and Elijah. Did Peter, James, or John ever see them before? How did they recognize them? How did they know? How did they know it was them particular? Why not say Jeremiah and Joshua? But they knew that this was Moses and this was Elijah. So we will know each other. We will know each other with the new body. It won't be something completely foreign. The Lord says, "For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth." This is the day of the second coming, when He comes again. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. But both the evil and the just will rise. There will be a resurrection, both in the spirit and the body, in the resurrection and the second coming. Why? Because the virtues and the spiritual struggles we endured with while we were on earth are both in spirit and in body and will be rewarded accordingly. And all the sins we committed on earth were committed with the spirit and the body as well. And therefore they will be condemned in Hades or in hell as well. But for eternal life and glory, the Lord Jesus, as St. Paul says, is the first fruit. You know, what made the Lord Jesus' resurrection unique from all the other resurrections in the body, all the other resurrections in the Bible, is that He rose and never died again. Lazarus died again. The daughter of Jairus died again. The woman whose son He rose from the dead, He died again. But the Lord Jesus is the only one, when He rose in the glorified body and will never die again. Right? His body will never die again. Look what He says in the Corinthians. He says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption." So the flesh is sown in corruption and will be raised in incorruption. So it can't be defiled or decayed. It is sown in dishonor because of sin, and it will be raised in glory. This is the new body. It is sown in weakness. How vulnerable is our physical body? I mean, just a few years ago, we had a small virus wipe out a large population of the world. Something that we can't even see. So fragile is the human body. Sown in weakness, raised in power. It is sown a natural body from the earth. It is raised a spiritual body. We'll no longer need water and food and clothing and all of these things. But as the Lord says, we'll be like the angels. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. My beloved, the body is connected to the spirit and the spirit to the body in an inseparable way. So we have to realize that just as when we sin, our spirit is affected by the sin we commit. It's separation from God. And in the same way, when we push our bodies in worship and prayer and doing spiritual activities, the spirit will benefit. Although the body, when we do spiritual things like fasting and prostrations, might seem to be frail, the body might seem to be frail, but in actuality, it seems frail, but it's actually strengthened. You look at somebody like Saint Anthony, who lived in the wilderness for like 80-something years, or maybe more, right? And he lived to 120 years old. You know? And if you look at the lifespan of the monastics, it's just like any one of us. Right? It's just like any one of us. So because of their fastings and so on, the body doesn't become weak. We just tend to convince ourselves that our body will become weak and die if we continue in our spiritual life. But that's not the case. As the Lord said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. My beloved, we're in the holy 50 days now. And sometimes we have a tendency to overindulge in food. Right? Malish. We have a tendency to overindulge in food. Don't believe that the overindulgence in food will not affect the spirit. It will. هتلاحظوا ايه؟ واحد مش عارف يصلي، مش قادر يقوم، بيبقى كسلان. When I eat so much, then the things of the spirit become very heavy. Why? Because the body affects the spirit, and the spirit affects the body. This is why St. Paul says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Why do you think you'll be disqualified, St. Paul, if I don't discipline my body? If I don't discipline my body, my spirit will become weak and then I can become disqualified. So he made the connection. There is a connection between spirit and the body. Let's not separate them. Let's look at every action and every function we do. How will this affect my spirit just as how it will affect my body? To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.